This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast.
And welcome once again to another episode of the Cardboard Cave Podcast, the number one Magic the Gathering podcast here in Puerto Rico. I am one of your hosts, John Ramos, and before we go ahead and present all of our other hosts of the show, remember, if you guys want to rock our merchandise, go ahead. On the top is the link that you guys can go to our merch store and order any of our shirts. If you guys have any other brilliant ideas for shirts, just send us a message and we can go ahead and design it, and then we can add it to our merch store, and probably more shirts are coming to you as well. Remember, if you guys go to altersleeves.com, it's really easy. Go to altersleeves.com, grab all of the spiciness that you want to do to decorate your commander or your deck, and as then when you're about to check out, just go ahead and write down Cardboard Cave on your discount code. You will get 5% off your order, or as well, you can just hit that referral link and you guys will go ahead and get that discount as well, and they'll be supporting us as well. And as well, if you guys are on Twitch, you can go ahead, make that donation, or go ahead and subscribe to our channel. We are working right now on new little emojis for you guys, because we want to go ahead and grow our community. So with further ado, let's go ahead and present one of our other host members of the show. We are still waiting for Chris, and Orengo is right now doing an interview, so Orengo will be in a little bit much more later. But let's go ahead and present the master of the dark arts himself, the one and only JP.
Hey what's up
JP, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
So JP, the most interesting thing about Dominaria United is that everybody has been very excited about it, because we're back at Dominaria. We are on our road, on the road for Brothers War, and as well, a lot of us are expecting to go back to Phyrexia, because I think everybody's really excited to go back to these planes. As well, Brothers War, because we spoke about it, that they're really interesting pre-release kits that you can choose which side do you want. So it's really cool that we are on the road for greatness, I would say, for the future of standard, the standard format, and as well, I would say the most important format in Magic the Gathering, that it's EDH, even though one of the topics of today, of tonight, will be fully of EDH. Now we're going to leave it at the end, because we're going to be talking about a little bit of the two decks that have been spoiled, and as well, see what we can say or predict that these universe beyond cards will affect in terms of the commander format. So JP, the first bit of news is that one of the primary issues was that with said boosters upon release, apparently some people did get, you know, that a lot of content creators or people that have, or store owners have access to these to the packs or to the merchandise early on, like that. Yes. They can do their like unboxings or whatnot of the set, like that people can see, hey, this is what you're going to be expecting. The thing is that this is where the weird part comes out, that some of these set booster boxes did not include their rares. They did include the nice stained glass uncommons, but some of these set booster boxes did not include rares. So basically speaking, they got a full box of only commons and uncommons, and obviously letting it be set boosters, so you would get maybe a stained glass land, because this is the other fun part. In other sets, like let's put an example, Kamigawa, if you would buy a set booster box, you would get roughly a very, very nice number of these of the alternate lands, the full art lands. But in Dominaria, there was a kind of an issue that these stained glass lands are not hard to get, but they are basically non-existent. in these boxes. You hear this, JP. What do you think about this craziness that upon the release of Dominaria United, people that were got the product early didn't get rares on their boxes?
So I just automatically, for some apparent reason, just kind of try to correlate how, you know, we got the prices for the Brothers War and yeah. how the prices were actually like lower than what Dominaria was selling for.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's interesting. I don't know why that my brain goes to that, and also seeing how this and technically speaking more expensive set has printing issues. It's like on one hand you raise the price, on the other hand you still have manufacturing and shipping and just product issues in general. So that's just what my brain automatically goes to. I've heard about like misprints, a lot of misprints in this set.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that in a second.
But
there is a topic about that.
Yeah, but I looked this up when you mentioned it, and I. This is a really bad thing. Like if this ever happens again, this is literally a stop buying Magic product type pad.
But this is not the only thing, JP. The issue is that Dominaria United is the first set to celebrate Magic 30, and it's becoming a big failure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having their big event coming up very shortly, your first set is giving you a lot of issues. But wait, there's more. You know that the previous Jumpstart set was really fun, or it is fun. You know, if you just want to have a group of friends to play Jumpstart, the first Jumpstart is really cheap. I think you can find boxes for like $100 or probably less if you get them in special. But the whole point of Jumpstart is that you have a bunch of unique tribes or
mechanics. Mechanics.
Exactly. And then you get two boosters of Jumpstart, and then you with those two boosters, you unite them and you have your deck. The good thing is that the two boosters already include lands, like that you don't have to add lands to these decks. And the good thing about it is that in the previous Jumpstart, you had over 30 different mechanics, and not only over 30 different mechanics, you would have, I think it was around 10 to 15 unique rares and mythics that you would get. Like they were like lottery cards, like put an example, Allosaurus Shepherd and the one that doubles the mill, and there was another one, Rhystic Study, I think was one of the ones that was in Jumpstart.
It wasn't a mythic, it was still a rare.
It was a rare, yes. But what I mean is that there were lottery cards, Crater Hoof, there was a lot of lottery cards in this set. Plus, obviously, there were cards that were unique, unique rares that would only come out in Jumpstart. Now, there's a big issue. The new Jumpstart for Dominaria United only has 5 unique rares for Dominaria, but the thing is that you can get these rares in set boosters and in draft booster boxes as well. But that's not all. This new Jumpstart only has 10 different mechanics. They're not unique, and they're not added to the 30 that you the 30 or more that you had in the previous. There's only 10 mechanics that are running in the new Jumpstart. The only thing that Wizard of the Coast does say is that if you would get, let's say, putting an example, dogs, if you would get dogs in one pack and then dogs in another pack, the second dog pack would be kinda different. Not very similar, but it would be kinda different. The issue is that this is another product that they have been promoting like that they can eliminate their theme, the theme boosters, that you would get 15 cards. Out of those 15 cards, two of them might be rare or mythic, and then the rest would be commons and uncommons depending on the color that you chose of that theme booster box, that theme booster. The thing is that now you have this jumpstart product that everybody loves, because a lot of people did like the previous one, and one of our friends, Chris, did buy a box to play with his girlfriend, and obviously he said that it's fun to play with friends.
You played?
Yeah. I got to play Jumpstart as well. But you see this, JP. New set, the new Jumpstart, is only going to have 10 unique mechanics, 5 unique rares that you can still get in the other Dominaria boosters. So, what do you think? Do you think that it is fair?
I feel like the way you're talking about it makes it like a big issue, but I feel like this is a non-issue. The problem with this type of product, for in my opinion, for what I've seen online, is that this type of product is mostly a bit more catered towards newer-ish players, as veteran players would be already buying either set boosters, collector boosters, or singles. The type of quality could be increased. I can agree with that, but for the most part, I'm not seeing much of the issue. Really, I understand. I enjoyed what I played with Jumpstart, but I understand as someone who has made a cube, and Jumpstart is very similar in concept to what cube is. As someone who's made a cube, then I understand that Jumpstart is a difficult product to sell and make effectively, and you just need to kind of tweak it. So the first Jumpstart was pretty good, but had a lot of flaws in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this second Jumpstart has even more flaws, but now you know what works and what doesn't work. My opinion will be solidified if and when they do this again, and it's still like the same, then that's when my opinion will be more concrete, and I could be a bit more critical about how they're dealing with this. But for the most part, I don't mind what they're doing with it.
Okay. It's fine. You know, the reason why I bring it up is because at least a lot of people in the community, not I'm not gonna say everybody, but most of the people in the community that got to buy the first Jumpstart are defending this Jumpstart due to economic points of view. But letting it be that these unique rares, or you don't have like lottery cards in this set, in this Jumpstart set, well, then I would say that it's, you know, for people that think buying these booster boxes would be a plus for you, I would say the contrary on it. But let's go ahead.
It'd be interesting if they're gonna keep on doing this for basically every set, right?
Yeah, apparently Wizard of the Coast wants to like solidify for the future of standards of future sets is draft set Jumpstart. Obviously in the collectors.
It'd be very funny and interesting to see random cards that will not be legal in standard but still legal in the Jumpstart, like whenever you play the and draft Jumpstart. You know how do you remember like the invention, like masterpieces and inventions, and all that stuff, whenever you would open one, you could play it in the draft. So similar to that, in next set having like a mono black one and just a random Yawgmoth Ramposition and a random Urza, those would be money cards, and that would motivate people.
No, yeah, that would be great and amazing. Again, it's something that Wizard of the Coast, you know, because I know that people are excited, because in this set a lot of people did buy the collector booster boxes because of the whole having some lottery cards of legends in them. Some people did Luke, some people did get the cards that are money bags. It's very interesting, because in many groups I would see people posting like, oh, I opened a collector booster box and I got the the tabernacle
of Pendril Vale.
Yeah, and I would be like, awesome, dude. You know, I'm glad that they could get that they got it. And then there was the other one, that the mono black one.
The Abyss.
Yeah, the Abyss, the one that's very expensive as well from Legends.
I think it's the Abyss. I'm not 100% sure. Chains of Mephistopheles. Like
a... Yeah.
Chains of Mephistopheles. Another one would be Angus McKenzie, an actual legend.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really interesting how this set has the, I would not say the community divided in a way, but with what we're going to speak now, it's going to be very interesting. So we spoke about set booster boxes, right?
Yep.
No rares.
Yep.
How about if I tell you that there was a guy in Reddit, if I could find the window. Give me 1 second. Whoop. Okay. Yes, here we go. There was this guy in Reddit that said, hey, I want to say something. My whole set booster box came with errors and miscuts. What are you going to do about that, Wizard of the Coast? Somebody in Reddit, because we all know that the Reddit page of Magic the Gathering is being managed by people that I'm not saying it myself, but that people that are technically speaking being paid from from Wizard of the Coast. So these people, when they see posts that are like bashing or criticizing Magic, they go ahead and they ban or erase their post. It's really interesting because doing my research upon this, they say that if you mention the Magic Historian, they would automatically ban you in the Reddit, in the Magic the Gathering Reddit. So yeah, so this is the most interesting part. This has been posted by somebody that noticed that his set booster box was full of miscuts and error cards. And normally this type of post would be erased by the Reddit page, but this is what happened. The Reddit page actually did pin it in their page and as well left a message electing to keep this one up, as we've gotten a lot more misprint posts than usual for Dominaria United, to the point I'm going to consider it necessary to keep these as a warning that misprints seem much more common than before. So JP.
Yep, I saw a double misprint. So it was an edge misprint and also an unaligned on the card and on the back. So the back, as usually mm-hmm. says Magic the Gathering, just yeah. says Magic the, and then gather, because you know it was just like this is the card, and the card like was to the side, like the art was like very much skewed in a diagonal way. And I saw that, and then the next photo is they're like, yeah, I have a bunch of these, and people were like, oh my god, you made a lot of money because there's a market for this.
There is,
but there's a market for this only if it's rare,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand. So if it's really common, I don't think it's gonna be that profitable. But you know that it's a thing people look for. That's why I wanted to note it, and I know about it because I'm in that page, that Facebook page of the miscuts. I knew it was common. I just, you know, it's just a lot. Again, the quality needs to improve if you are going to increase prices because of whatever reason, whatever bad reason you decided.
I know, right? That's the downfall. This set was super expensive in regards to what we're used to in prices. Because remember, we did spoke about this with Chris and with Orengo, that local game stores on our side, some of them were selling these sets more over than what we usually pay for. And obviously the product is going to move because of the hype. But then there's people like us that are like, you know what, I'm gonna stop buying boxes and just fully go to buy singles, because why not, you know? In this set, I only bought one pre-release kit and one bundle, because I wanted the bundle I wanted to get it because of the dice. I really didn't care about the rest of the things. But I got my dice, and then I opened my boosters. I didn't get anything that I was looking for, but in my pre-release kit, I did get the Praetor in my pre-release kit, and then I think that the rare was one of the knights, Knight of Analia, something like that, and at least I flipped the cards pretty quick, because I needed a Timeless Lotus. I found my Timeless Lotus. Joda is coming through the mail, so I got my Joda for my commander. But the thing is that it's really sad that you see a creep up of prices for the product, but we're getting horrible quality. And again, I'm gonna mention it once more. Letting people know that this is the first set celebrating Magic 30. That this is the most sad part. We return to Dominaria in the most saddened way possible. But there's one more thing in that happened in the products, my friend JP. If you know that the products did have a delay, especially here in Puerto Rico, some of our local game stores didn't get the full products until like 2 weeks later. But some of the local game stores did get to do their pre-releases, so that's a kudos for that. But this is the issue. The biggest issue is that it's really interesting. Set boosters without rares, set booster boxes with miscuts and errors. But what if I can tell you that there were pre-release kits with missing booster packs and with not acquiring rares as well? So
no rare and missing booster packs?
Yes. Apparently in the States, a lot of local game stores did report that people buying their kits, a lot of customers will go back to the person that would prep that you would buy the kit, and will be like, hey, my kit only has two booster packs, or my booster packs didn't come with rares. Thank God that there was no reports of missing pre-release cards, because that would be like over the top. That would be more sadder than the word. But what do you think about this, JP? Obviously, here in Puerto Rico, some local game stores didn't get their pre-releases on time. Some did. So I, at least in the talk of the main Magic the Gathering page here in Puerto Rico, Magic the Gathering Puerto Rico, I didn't hear no fuss about the kits. But listening in that in the States, this was a big issue. What do you think about this, man?
It all boils down to the main thing, and at this point, I'm getting repetitive, but like it requires it. They need to get their quality problem in check. They need to get their quality problem and check it out. They need to see what's the issue. Why are there printing issues? Why are there packing issues? Why are there shipping issues? And how can they fix it?
And the thing is that secret layers keep coming.
I don't. That's why it's just so conflicted. It's like you get Watsu product through suppliers, but then you get secret layers directly through them. You don't really hear about bad secret layers anymore, because there used to be a few ones that were pretty bad. But you don't really hear about that anymore.
That's
so if they
true.
Fixed it there, why can't you fix it in the other area?
I would give you. I'm gonna mention to you a comment that I read through the research. Do you think that it's because of Hasbro having the control of Wizard of the Coast? They're only worried about profit and not quality. Not like back in the day, that Wizard of the Coast would be more about quality and less about. Now I would not say less about product. I mean, profit, but you know, they would worry about quality of their product because they are the most premium trading card game out there. Even though now Disney is going to make their own Disney the Gathering, but we can talk about that another day. But what do you think about that? Do you think that it's Hasbro just telling Wizard of the Coast, hey, we need major profit margins, even though last year they went over their margins as well?
They've had the most profitable years they've ever had since 2019. Like, they've had three very profitable years. We've said this multiple times in other episodes and other podcasts and other, and is that the pace they're taking is unsustainable. And I guess we're now seeing the results of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's unsustainable.
So JP, before we go to our ouch! Oh my god, I just hit myself. before we go to our main topic of tonight, this is going to be very quick. So you know that in every set we have tokens, right?
Yes.
So we have tokens. We love tokens because tokens represent creatures or what we're doing, right? So
yes.
Let's go ahead and look at them. Dominaria United tokens. And this is all at the magic.wizard.com website. So this is an official article. So we have our angel, we have a bird, we have a knight, a soldier, a merfolk.
Another bird.
We have an insect, a Phyrexian, zombie, a dragon,
elemental,
goblin,
kobold of Carepeep,
monk, a badger, a beast,
cat warrior, a sapperling, a worm, a sand warrior, the Stang twin, ornithopter, power stone, treasure. Then you get the Planeswalker emblems with the Johnny Sleeper Agent and Jaya Fiery Negotiator.
There's one missing.
There is?
Yeah, where's Karn's emblem? We have the Power Stone.
This just keeps on confirming that suspicion that Karn was supposed to be... Karn was supposed to be in Brothers War.
Exactly. That's what people are assuming, because if you go ahead and put Karn Dominaria United, look for the card. Look for it on another page so that we can go ahead and read. So Karn. Okay, this text is really small. No, here we go. So Karn has a plus, a negative, and another negative. He enters with 4 loyalty, and he costs 4 mana to cast. His first ability is create a tap Power Stone token. This Power Stone token gives you mana, but can only be spent on to cast non-artifact spells. That's sad. The other one is that you pay any amount of mana, look at that many cards from the top of your library, then put one of those cards into your hand and the rest in the bottom of your library. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The minus 7 is that you get an emblem with tap and untapped artifact you control. This emblem deals 1 damage to any target. So, having that note and having the fact that there's no emblem for Karn, a lot of speculations is that Karn was reworked before the release of the set, because we all know that these sets are worked 2 to 3 years in hand. Not like Unglued or Unhinged or Unwhatever. The unsets do take a little bit much more time. The unsets take around 5 to 6 years to be worked on. So then it's really interesting. What do you think about this, JP? No Karn emblem.
So what you're saying is that Karn was reworked.
Yes. Those maybe are the rumors that they're saying.
What I'm thinking is maybe the Power Stones didn't have the restriction.
Okay. Makes sense.
Or his emblem was something different.
Or maybe he didn't. Or maybe he had another ability that was not an emblem.
An emblem, yeah.
Because it's not difficult. Like let's say that Karn was reworked at least 6 months before printing. They could have printed an emblem easily, because emblems are not hard to make. It's just the splash art from the card, and that's it. And it says emblem on it and the effect. You know, so it's not that much. So let's go ahead and jump into the last topic of tonight. Let me go ahead and look for it. We're just going to skim. I would not say skim it, but we can go ahead and
we'll look for, like, just in general. Not.
Yes.
I'll be honest. It's a bit like, it's a lot of cards to be able to look at it at them all.
So, Warhammer 40K, Universe Beyond, Magic the Gathering is the first official product of this new venture that Wizards of the Coast wants to follow through. Because even though we do have secret layers from going to The Walking Dead and Stranger Things, Fortnite, Arcane, because if you guys know, if the card has a little triangle on the bottom, that means that they are part of Magic the Gathering Universe Beyond. But we have not gotten an official product fully of the Universe Beyond format or set or branding. So we got our first one that is going to be 40K. Warhammer 40K being a very, 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 very popular tabletop game. And as well, it not only is a tabletop game, it has its own RTS games and so on and so forth. As well, from these 4 commander decks, there's going to be 3 secret layers. One of Warhammer 40K, one of Warhammer, normal Warhammer, and one of Blood Bowl. So now, right now, if you guys go to our Facebook page, on our Facebook page, there is the Tyranide commander deck has
been... Tyranids.
Tyranids. Tyranids commander deck has been fully spoiled. Tomorrow or later tonight, or after the show, I will be posting the full cards of the demon deck, the Grixis demon commander. So here are the ones that were spoiled today. Anytime, JP, if you want me to stop, just tell me.
You're using Mythic Spoiler.
Yes.
Just in case. Because I was using the other one. There we go.
Okay. Just send me the link. Just send me the link.
No, we're on the same. By date? Okay, there we go.
Yes, by date.
Okay, perfect. I have the cards right here. We could go directly to the bottom and start from the first one. I feel like that would be a lot easier.
Okay, here.
And yes. So just we already covered the commanders in another
Yeah, episode. we did cover the Swarm Lord and the Grixis one.
And we covered Zarek, the if I'm not mistaken, and the Silent King. We haven't covered secondary commanders,
which exactly, are
these are the secondary commanders.
Let's go ahead and
Magus Lucea Kane. So yes. Magus Lucea Kane is very, 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 very strong in my opinion. He's one of the strongest ones out of all the bunch. There's one that's objectively stronger, but we'll get to that. So Magus Lucea Kane reads, she's a 1 green, blue, and red, so 4 mana for a 1/1 legendary creature, human Tyranid wizard. She has Spiritual Leader. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a +1 counter on target creature. It doesn't even say you control, so you can put it on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And she has Psychic Stimulus. You can tap her to add 2 colorless mana. When you next cast a spell with X in its mana cost, or activate an ability with X in its activation cost, this turn, copy that spell or ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. So, I was talking with you, if I'm not mistaken, about what I consider, what generally can be considered CEDH type commanders and CEDH type cards.
Yes, that was me.
And by extension, if it's viable in CEDH, it's viable in normal commander. But if it's viable in CEDH, you can see the power and how strong this card can be. So this is a mana dork. A 4 mana dork, that's pretty bad. It's a 1/1, that's also pretty bad. It can pump himself, but the detail is that it can just outright win with a second ability. Green Sun Zenith, at least X4, will look for Teemer Sabertooth and Wirewood Symbiote. And that would, in addition to other elves, you can go infinite in mana. If you go with the finale route and finale X4, that by copying it, you could choose Teemer Sabertooth and Dockside Extortionist. Mm-hmm. Because you would be these tutors would be looking for 2 creatures, any 2 creature combo, so Kiki Jiki and any of the untappers, be it any of the blue ones or any of the red ones, that automatically wins. You have, because of your colors in blue, green, and red, you are in optimal colors for all the shenanigans. This card is pretty damn strong. Another interesting part is if you untap her and then tap her again, you get that ability twice. Because the ability is after you tap it. So if you've managed to tap her, untap her, tap her again, you would copy the spell twice. That's very strong. You want to talk about that?
No. Like, it's a great, you know, I don't like the fact it's a 1/1, but still, it is what you mentioned. And it does have the 3 colors that have a lot of shenanigans in CDH. So, yeah. So, it is a stronger card, regardless of its predecessor, that it's the Swarm Lord. Yeah. That I think that was one of the... It's been interesting because I thought that being Warhammer 40K, a lot of people were going to be excited. But due to the fact that we share... Just to let our listeners know, we have a couple of Facebook groups that we haven't spoken to the owners or anything, but apparently they do like our content and they don't mind that we constantly post in their pages. So when we do post like of all the decks or cards, there's a lot of chatter, you know, in terms of like people talking about the product. And I did see in the comments that a lot of people like the product, but they don't like the product because it does not follow the Warhammer 40k lore in terms of some cards. But again, it's being nitpicky, I guess. I don't know, but hey, you know, at least I would say we have Warhammer 40k in Magic.
From what I've understood, Warhammer lore can be confusing, to say. In that case, I'm not really worried. So the next card from the deck is Imhotep, the Stormlord. Is 2BB for 3/3 legendary artifact creature Necron. He has Faerun. Whenever one or more artifact cards leave your graveyard, create 2/2 Necrons warrior artifact creature tokens. And Grand Strategist, at the beginning of combat on your turn, another target artifact creature you control gets +2/+2 and gains menace until end of turn. So this is if I'm not mistaken, since you make two of them, this is very similar to an elephant wizard from Strixhaven that had the ability, whenever a card leaves your graveyard, you make a 3/2, which is a lot stronger, of course.
Yeah.
Especially because you get two colors. But this is very similar, and he also makes two of them. So it's very on theme.
Sacrifice 8 treasure and you have 2 tokens?
No. Whenever one or more artifact cards, unfortunately, tokens are not cards. Even though a token card would enter the graveyard and exile itself automatically, because that's how they just leave the game, that's automatically, it would not trigger Imhotep.
Sad.
Yeah. Next card is Belakor, the Dark Master. 3BB and red for 6/5 legendary creature Demon Noble. This is probably the most fun one out of all of them because he is Demon Tribal. He has flying. He's the Prince of Chaos. When Belakor the Dark Master enters the battlefield, you draw X cards and lose X life, where X is the number of demons you control. Lord of Torment. Whenever another demon enters the battlefield under your control, it deals damage equal to its power to any target. I have a friend who really wants to make this because he really likes his tribal decks, and he doesn't really care about mana cost and like effects and being efficient in terms of like what this would be doing, because he just looks at the big demon and he does a lot of good stuff, and I can't help but agree.
I like it. I like Belakor, the Dark Master. When we finish talking about the cards, I have a question for you. So yeah. I wanted to I really do like Space Marines, so I'm gonna go ahead and mention Marneus Khalgar. It's 2BB legendary creature, Astartes Warrior, double strike, Master Tactician. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, draw a card. Then he has Chapter Master that you pay 6 mana, 6 colorless mana. He creates 2/2 white Astrites warrior creature tokens with vigilance, and it's a 3/5. Well, the main commander, that is Inquisitor Greyfax, costs 1 less mana. Let me compare their abilities.
They're not comparable.
No.
Marneus Khalgar is broken.
Sadly, sadly, what the only token doubler that you have is in white, and it's Anointed Procession.
You don't care about token doubling. Just play Smothering Tide.
Oh wait.
Whenever you draw a card, you didn't pay 2. I make a treasure token. I draw a card.
Oh shit, this
your
is
Mother
broken.
Of Time becomes basically a consecrated sphinx. That's broken.
Broken. Okay, now I see it. I read the card right, but I didn't like read between the lines. More tokens. Oh god.
You make infinite mana because there's a billion ways to make infinite mana. You make a 2/2 because you made the 2/2, you draw a card. Now you have infinite mana and the way to draw your deck in addition to making the 2/2s.
JP, I want to make this.
I feel like he didn't need double strike. Flavorful. Let's go for it, but he did not need double strike with this ability.
I think I know why he has double strike.
Isochron, yes, flavorful. Isochron Scepter, Dramatic Reversal, any number of mana rocks, like at least 2 mana rocks, or 3 mana rocks can make 3 mana. 2 of them, and then you have infinite mana.
Draw your deck. Dissolve Monolith.
Draw your deck, do stuff. Mm-hmm. I mentioned CEDH.
Yep.
So let me mention it again. The reason I mention it a lot is because I like it, but also it's a good way to evaluate cards. It's the same way how I evaluate cards because of Cube. If the card is good in Cube, it's generally a good card. It could be a good card and not be good in Cube, but for the most part, like that's just one of the things I've learned about. So. Megas Lucia Kane is good in CEDH for combo reasons, but I feel like she probably would still see play in a normal tables. Marnea Skalgar is good in CEDH tables because he himself is the outlet, even though he doesn't. He draws you cards, but it's conditional because he needs the tokens, and he makes the tokens himself. But I feel like if you play Marnea Skalgar, you'd probably get hated out on the table a bit faster.
Yeah,
he is that strong. Like he is that strong. That is a strong commander.
I completely agree.
You know what? Now thinking of it. I feel like he didn't need double strike, and Megas Lucia should have been 3 mana with 0 power.
Yep.
Then have her a 0, a 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and keep on going up. But, anyways, yeah, they're all really cool. These are just like the main secondary commanders. There are other legendary creatures in the set.
Yeah.
So we can keep on talking about those.
So we have this one that it's like I got to read it, and it's really, I really do like it because it's a Death Leaper Terror Weapon. It's a 2 and red green legendary creature, Terranide. Flash Haste, Flesh Hooks, has an ability called Flesh Hooks. Creatures you control that entered the battlefield this turn have double strike.
So if they're attacking and they enter that turn, they have double strike.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that's right there that's also a legendary creature is Old One Eye. It's 5 and a green for a 6/6 legendary creature Tyranid. He has trample and other creatures you control have trample. When Old One Eye enters the battlefield, create a 5/5 green Tyranid creature token. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you may discard 2 cards. If you do, return Old One Eye from your graveyard to your hand. It's fasty.
Mm-hmm. It's a
6/6. Yeah, it's a 6/6. Sorry, I mentioned it. A recursive threat. I would wish that it would, instead of the battlefield, it would go to the. Let's say at the beginning of the end step, and that you can discard 2 cards and enter the battlefield tapped or something like that.
Yeah.
That way, it's always recurring, but also it's 2 cards, so it's quite the cost.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Also, kind of wish. I don't know. Like, I know a bit about Warhammer lore, but I kind of wish it were an obligated ability because that would be a lot more flavorful.
Oh.
You have to do this.
That would be cool.
But at the same time, I understand why, mechanically speaking, it would be not the best.
Yeah, I agree. So this was on September 12th. Let's go ahead to the next.
Yeah.
Next batch of cards.
Then there's right there is Gearson Starn, Kelemorph. One blue and red for a 3/2. He has Ward 2 and he's a legendary creature, Tyranid Human. He has an ability called 3 Auto Stubs. Whenever another source you control deals exactly 1 damage to a permanent or player, Gearson Starn, Kelemorph deals 2 damage to that permanent or player. There's this card called Goblin Sharpshooter. And what Goblin Sharpshooter does is you tap him and he deals 1 damage to target creature or player. And he has a second ability that says whenever a creature dies, untap it. Oh. So that just makes it 3 damage to as many things as you want. As long as the creatures are dying.
Damn.
I'm not sure. Like, I need to read up on the wording of Torbrand, Thane of Redfell. Because I'm not sure if he is the one. No. It deals that much damage plus 2 instead. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be dealing 3 damage. So in this case, you probably wouldn't. You'd think you'd want Thorbrand in this deck, but you don't.
No.
It's interesting, because of how it's worded.
Yeah. So there aren't other legendary creature cards in the batch. There's a cool, I would say, mana dork.
Yes. Yeah. I really like that one.
Biophagus.
Actually, Biophagus. No, it's not that one.
This is not the one? Or is it this one?
No. It's the one above in Nexus.
Oh, Nexus. Let's go. Yeah. Nexus is a green and one. Creature, human, Tyranid advisor. 2/2. Has strategic coordinator. Basic lands you control have tap and makes 2 colorless mana. Spend this mana only on cost that contains X. So whoa.
Suddenly your lands add for 2 and you can pay X mana. That's a strong card.
Holy cow.
That's a strong card.
Tormenting Hellfire.
Unfortunately, Torment of Hellfire is a black card that won't be going in this deck, but it would have been flavorful. But also,
yeah,
there's I have a friend that's making Zaxxara, and Zaxxara is X tribal as well. So,
oh boy,
this is something he might want to get.
Oh yes.
In addition to that,
There's a lot of big creatures.
Yeah, the Hierophant Biotitan, which is above them. It costs 2 less for each +1 counter you move among creatures you control. So it could potentially be a 2 mana 12/12 Vigilant Reach Ward, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be blocked by creatures of power 2 or less. So that's interesting. He's a big boy.
Then you add it with Trample, and then people suffer.
There's the Adelan Jackal, which is a bit above that, on the left.
Mm-hmm. This one.
The Adelan Jackal is one red and green for a 2/2. Creature, human, Tyranid Scout, Trample Haste. And whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you get to ramp. You get to look for a land and put it into the battlefield tapped. That's pretty nice.
I like it. I like the Goliath truck. The vehicle is a 4 mana vehicle, artifact vehicle that has is it storage, right?
Yeah,
storage. So whenever Goliath truck attacks, put 2 +1/+1 counters on another target attacking creature, and it has crew 2. I like it because it's a low mana cost vehicle and it crews for two.
Low mana cost is arguable, but
yeah. But what I mean is, in terms of like four crew two, and that it has an ability that gives target attacking creature +2/+1/+1 counters. In regards to if you are somebody that plays vehicles and you crew a lot, then your other vehicles will have, they'll be big boys at the end of the day, you know. So that's why I like it. Because it's whenever he attacks, it's not like there's no other condition behind that. Yeah. And Petuta on now the sad part is that you can't put the counters on him.
But it's fine. He's still a 4/4.
Shadow and the Warp is interesting as well.
Yes, that's an interesting card. So it reads, it's a 1 red-green enchantment. The first creature spell you cast each turn costs 2 less to cast. And whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, it deals 2 damage to that player.
Mm-hmm. For 3 mana, a card that gives you...
basically less... 2 mana forever at every turn, at least once. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And especially on those colors. I would say, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here in the bunch...
of the Red Terror. There's another legendary creature Tyranid. 3 red, 4/3. It says, advanced species. Whenever a red source you control deals damage to one or more permanents and or player, put a +1 counter on the Red Terror. I would have preferred if this said put that many. Because he's a 4 mana, 4/3 with no evasion. So at least just let him get big.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever a red source you control deals damage to one or more permanent, I like it at least for the commander that I have that is mono red, that is basically a lot of instants and sorceries. I like it because of that. I probably might get it. Okay, so moving up to the September 13, one of the cards that I was really intrigued is the Bone Sabres, the equipment. Whenever equipped creature attacks, put 4 +1/+1 counters on it. It's a 3, it's 2/1 green, and it equips for 3 mana.
So how I evaluate equipments is that you need to account the actual mana cost and the equip cost. So this is technically 6 mana for 4 counters, which is a reasonable rate. It's just strong, but it's reasonable. It's not like it's not broken.
No, I'm not saying that it's broken. I just like it because, like, well, I attack 4 counters. Okay, here's another batch. I think these are for the ones from today. In this commander, there are a lot of reprints in the Grixis one.
And there's a lot of Cascade cards.
Yes, and there's a lot of Cascade cards as well. Here's one right now. Let the Galaxy Burn. X5N red that says Cascade. And Cascade does the following for our listeners. When you cast this spell, exile cards from top of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs less. You may cast it without paying its mana cost, but put the exile cards on the bottom of your library in a random order. Let the Galaxy Burn deals X damage +2 to each creature that didn't enter the battlefield this turn. It's okay.
The card I really want to talk about. Okay, so there's the legendary creature. We could cover this.
This one?
Yes, the one to the right. Yeah, right there.
Okay, let me click it because it's in Japanese.
Yeah. It's Lucius the Eternal. 3 black and red, legendary creature, Astartes Warrior. He has haste. When Lucius the Eternal dies, exile it instead and choose target creature and opponent controls. When that creature leaves the battlefield, return Lucius the Eternal from exile to the battlefield under its owner's control. So there's a few cards that go very, very well with this. One of them being Goblin Bombardment. So now you can sacrifice Lucius, target a 1/1, kill it, and he comes back. because sacrificing the creature is the cost. So you sacrifice Lucius the Eternal. His trigger goes on the stack. He dies and you exile it, choosing the 1-1 you already targeted. When that resolves, your 1-1 damage will resolve, and now he dies. That 1-1 dies, and he comes back in order for you to repeat that process all over again. Another card that goes very well with this in the same aspect is Attrition. Attrition is an enchantment that reads one black flag and you pay black mana to activate its ability. Its ability is sacrifice a creature you control. And a destroy target non-black creature. So you can pay black, sacrifice Lucius the Eternal, target a creature. Lucius triggered, he dies. You exile it and choose a target creature an opponent controls. And that creature will be the same one you targeted. Lucius trigger resolves. Attrition trigger resolves. Creature dies. Lucius comes back. Now you can destroy anything that's non-black as long as you can pay black mana.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. You have to think how you can abuse this. So if he's coming, going and coming back, maybe you could use Pandemonium and Warstorm Surge, Impact Tremors, something like that, in order to be dealing with your opponent's life total.
Peripherals,
yeah, exactly.
The OG, guys, not the new one. The OG. Yeah.
Peripherals, God of the Forge.
Yes.
Okay. Above him is an interesting card. You want to read it?
This one?
Yes.
Magnus the Red is 3 blue-red legendary creature, demon primarch, flying. Flying 4/5. It has two abilities. One of them called Unearthly Power. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost one less to cast for each creature token you control. Holy shit. Blade of Magnus. Whenever Magnus the Red deals combat damage to a player, create a 3/3 red spawn creature token. Holy shit. What is this?
So yeah, as long as you have tokens, your spells will cost less. So now you can have there's cards that you can pay X to create that many tokens. So you can then just double your tokens and then you just keep on paying. He is the token version of what Magnus is. So he's still instant and sorcery based, and he wants to be tokens. So he's very interesting. A lot of very cheap spells. Something very interesting is like you add Phyrexian Altar. Now you can sacrifice your creatures to add the colorless mana, to add the colored mana, because he reduces the cost by one for each token. Now you have a big reduction plus your colored mana. You could storm off with creatures, and you're in red. Add a way with red and just swing in for the win, in addition to just casting a big X spell that could just, you know, win you the game that way.
I completely agree. I want to talk about the Ruinous Powers. I love this card. It's 2 black red enchantment that says the following: at the beginning of your upkeep, choose an opponent at random. Exile the top card of the player's library until end of turn. You may play that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it. When you cast a spell this way, its owner loses life equal to its mana value.
This is good Prosper card.
Yes.
If you want to be a bit more slower controlling this type, Prosper. This is a fun card. It's just drawing your opponent's deck is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's the thing is that you may play that card. So the good thing is that you can even play
lands.
You can play lands. Whoa. Look. This is a good card. I like it.
Yeah. I just don't know where I would put it other than Prosper.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, where would I put this other than Prosper? Because Prosper likes playing with the Exile, so...
I do want to read Sloppity Bile Piper, the one next to
okay.
it. That's a fun name. Sloppity Bile Piper. And that's a fun, that's fun art. Its ability is the Jolly Gut Pipes. You pay 2 mana, tap him, and sacrifice a creature. The next creature spell has a cascade.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's it's not as big as you might think, really.
No, cascade, no, it's...
But really, it's just the name and just the art. And I just like the flavor of this.
I wouldn't like this card to cost less mana.
3 mana maybe, but after that you're pushing it.
Yeah, I know. Like, 3 mana would have been fine because you still have to pay 2 mana and sacrifice a creature.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it was, well, at least 3 mana, 3 mana, I would say 1 and 2 black would have been fine.
Yes.
1 and 2 black. Okay.
This line really doesn't have much. Mortarion Demon Daemon Primarch.
Mm-hmm.
5 in a black for a legendary creature, Demon Primarch. He's a 5/6 flyer, Primarch of the Death Guard. At the beginning of your end step, you may pay X. If you do, create X black 2/2 black as started warrior creature tokens with menace. X can't be greater than the amount of life you lost this turn. I like this card. It's interesting. I did not understand it completely when I read it the first time. Now that I do, I am sad because this is not as good as I thought it would be.
I understand.
But still, it's like, I was going to put this in a Yara. It's like, oh man, okay. pay X and get X 2/2s. Is like 1 mana for 1 life. That's pretty good. Then I can just sacrifice him and draw cards. But no, it's not that. I'm gaining life.
So one of the cards I really did like is this one, Blight Grenade. Is high costing. I'm not saying that it's like stupid powerful, but at least in a board wipe kind of way, it's interesting. It's 4 and 1 black. So you first destroy target creature, and then all creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. It's interesting because one question, JP.
Yes.
Letting it be that the two things are separated, they're not a sentence. They do both resolve, right?
At the same time, that is correct.
Okay, so I was not going crazy. So this is the reason why I like it. Because you can destroy a creature that you think that it's like oppressive in the board, and you can still maybe, depending on how the board is, right? And you can eliminate the rest. So you would take, putting an example, big creature, let's put it, say Urza, that talking about Odengo's commander. So Urza. So we destroy Urza and then the rest get -3/-3. It's not bad. I think it's too high costed. Maybe they made it 5 mana due to the fact that it's 2 abilities at the same time. But it's a pretty decent board wipe. And then you have Mandate of Abaddon, that it's 4 mana, 1 black and 3, that says choose target creature you control. And then destroy all creatures with power less than that creature's power.
This is a white effect in a black card, which is
exactly. I like it. The only bad part is that it's depending on the creature that you choose is how much you can board wipe, but it's still for 4 mana. Just putting in perspective, let's say even though Damnation is now a card that you can buy, it's not that expensive as before due to a lot of reprints, but having more board wipes in colors that have popular ones like Wrath of God, even though Wrath of God is like a $5 card, but in black that it's Damnation, that it's a card that is very popular, and it's still not a high price card, but it's still a hefty price tag for people that are not working or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's go a little bit higher to the top.
Right there, there's a card. That card is very, very strong.
This one?
Talisman of Nurgle.
Oh, here we go. This one.
2 and a black for a 2/3 lifelink. He's a creature, Astartes warrior. And he has the ability, the Sevenfold Chant. At the beginning of your end step, if a creature died this turn, draw a card and lose one life. If 7 or more creature died this turn, instead, draw 7 and lose 7.
Wow.
I'm interested in this card.
It is interesting.
Because Yara's at the point where I can just go through mm-hmm. a lot of cards, but I do happen to have a problem with draw, where I can draw a lot of cards, and even at 33 lands, I get flooded very easily.
That is
so
true.
Last time I played Ayara, I was playing her with at a card store, and I was bluffing because I had 7 land in hand.
Oh my!
This card would have been really cool.
Yeah. Just
at least one extra card every turn is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much interested in the Talisman.
Especially like you mentioned, especially on Ajira, that is what you mentioned, it is true. Yeah. For the rest of the cards that are around here, I really am not interested in any of them. You know, they're very high cost cards, man.
Yeah.
You know.
But for the most part, yeah, that's basically the last card I'm interested in.
So this is the last batch of cards.
For the most part, I'm just not interested in any of them. Let's cover the legendary creature.
Legendary creature, though. Yeah.
This is Karn the Betrayer. Don't confuse him with Karn the Silver Golem.
Exactly.
Karn the Betrayer, 3 and a red for a 5/1. He attacks or blocks each combat if able.
Mm-hmm.
Is a legendary creature, Astartes Berserker, and Sigil of Corruption. When you lose control of Karn the Betrayer, draw 2 cards. If damage would be dealt to Kamish the Betrayer, prevent that damage and an opponent of your choice gains control of it. You're just giving your commander away.
Yeah. Isn't there
probably very brave, very, very, very flavorful.
Yeah, but isn't there like a commander already that you there is a commander that it's red black that does the same thing.
I don't remember.
Not the same thing, but
I know Varchild is one that does something similar.
Exactly. Yeah.
Varchild gives your opponents tokens, and when Varchild leaves, you gain control of all of those tokens.
Lazy Boy says came in just in time to say stop buffing Ajara JP.
never
nah,
so
never.
Let me check Varchild real quick, just so I can
because I know there's
which is interesting that... interesting because of the name Varchild Betrayer of Kjeldor. That's funny. So whenever Varchild Betrayer of Kjeldor deals combat damage to a player, that player creates that many 1/1 red survivor creature tokens. Survivors your opponents control can't block, and they can't attack you or a planeswalker you control.
I found it.
And when Varchild leaves the battlefield, gain control of all survivors.
Okay, the one that I'm saying is called Sancha, the sleeper agent.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Zancha is also one that you give to your opponents.
You give it to your opponents. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was when you read the card, I was like, I've heard this before, in a different way. But
Zancha can't attack you.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
the only
thank
problem.
Thank you. Thank you for the commander. Now I attack you in the face.
Yeah. So JP, question. Obviously in the Grixis deck, there's a couple of reprints. We have Blasphemous Brainstorm, a couple of
Dark Ritual. Shows,
Dark Ritual. So there's a couple of reprints. That's fine. I knew that they were going to do it in some of these commanders, but you just mentioned that some of these commanders in CDH would be a plus because they, you know, in terms of like how you can abuse them. Do you think that these cards from Universe Beyond, letting it be that you can only get these commanders, you can only get these cards in commanders, obviously in the secondary market, probably a couple of local game stores will open a couple to sell them in singles, but do you think that in perspective in the meta and the future of Universe Beyond, do you think that Wizard of the Coast should lean on making these type of products in small sets than just making them in commander in like this one that is four commander precons?
I don't think so. Mostly because they said that this is gonna be basically a printed demand. Like, as long as there's demand, they can keep on printing these cards. They didn't say that they were going to be limited. If they were going to be limited, then that would have been a problem. But because they said that it wasn't going to be, then I don't feel like it's gonna be a problem at all. For the most part, like, just because something is viable in CDH doesn't mean it's gonna be like expensive. CDH isn't like the casual players far outnumber any player that even watches Magic the Gathering content. You'd be surprised how many players just have no idea that the professor even exists.
That is true.
So just because something in the internet is propagated and said doesn't mean it's gonna be like a problem or a thing that's gonna be addressed. So I don't think it's gonna be a problem really, as long as they manage to keep things pretty much in check in terms of like what they print, they should be fine. As long, you know, if there isn't another Dockside problem.
Okay.
You know, Dockside Extortionist.
Mm-hmm.
Nexus of Fate, something, you know, something very very much exclusive.
The Walking
that
Dead
is
card.
Exactly. But something that's very much exclusive that is also very much strong. Because for the most part, in the Walking Dead card, the only real problem is Rick.
Rick is just not up. I did Rick not finish a commander with him.
You did, but Rick is just objectively strong, like very, very strong all around. Not just unique, not just flavorful. He's just
strong.
A bit too strong for what he does and for what his mana cost is.
Exactly.
And you can compare it to what Dockside Extortionist does. I don't think any of them should be banned. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there are strong cards that should be accessible.
That is true, because even though Dockside Extortionist did get a reprint, but it's still very expensive.
Yes,
it's still very expensive. You know, I know that in my side, I'm already working on making Shurikai CDH, so it's gonna be pretty penny, but we'll get there. So JP, do you have any final words or anything that you want to add to what we spoke tonight?
Blood for the Blood God, for the Swarm, praise the Emperor. I don't know. I'm excited for Warhammer stuff. I want to see more of the alternate commanders. Like you already saw. A few blue red one, the blue red one, and a few of the black, the other ones. I'm just excited to see what the other decks come with, especially the mono black one, because I am very much a black player, so I just really like that type of effect.
I'm super excited for the Space Marines one.
I want a white blue commander that does something that I'm interested in. I have a lot of white blue cards. just laying around.
Oh god. Oh god, no, JP.
I'm gonna be that control player. It's gonna be a card that says sacrifice a creature, counter target spell unless its controller pays X, where X is the number of creatures I control. Woo!
Oh Lord Jesus.
All the counter spells with all the creatures, yes. Something like that.
Wow. I really don't know. Like, right now I finished Rick. And that's the most recent commander that I finished. I think that the most expensive card that the commander has is Knight Exemplar, I guess. Like $6. I know that there's other knights that cost a little bit more, that are from recent sets, but I got to finish the commander. It has a lot of cards that are not supposed to be there because I just wanted to finish it. And they do have synergy with the commander, but hey, it is what it is. But still, I like it. It's going to be a fun commander. But I am going to be turning Shurikai's to CDH. I'm really excited for Warhammer 40K. I do hope that for the next upcoming set, that is Brothers War, if I'm not mistaken. I do hope that Wizard of the Coast, please work with your quality control. Work with it, because again, if you're making so many mistakes so frequently, it's not that you're going to lose your customers, but you're going to have lesser people. Exactly. You're going to have less people buying new boxes than just going to what other people are doing, that is just awaiting for the release and buying singles. Because then that's not what you want, you know. Because then you make, you know, it's really interesting that the misprint community was something that you would find once in a while, but now you're making it once in too many times, and it's too frequent. So, you know, it is what it is. So, JP, tell what the people, where can they find you?
You can find me here, the Cardboard Cave Podcast, talking about Magic the Gathering. What about you, John? Find you, one of the million, many places.
So you guys can find me in realinfilms.com. I will be posting more reviews in my website. We do have somebody new that is going to be posting reviews as well. So I'm really excited about that. We have another somebody that's on part of the team with me and Orengo as well. And the Movie Guy Podcast, I think that we're going to be changing the date that we're going to do the podcast. But for now, it's still every Tuesday at 8. As well, I do have my own show under the Movie Guy that I haven't been able to do one, but I will be doing one, I hope, this month or the next one. That's up, left, right. As well, I do work with the Nerdy Basement. There are already a lot of interviews that are up in their YouTube page, and there are more to come. I do have two more scheduled ones, one for tomorrow and one for Monday. So expect those interviews and be paying attention to the Nerdy Basement as well, guys. Follow us in all of our social media. We still don't know when it's going to be official, but just to keep you guys posted, there is a high chance that Facebook will be not letting us do lives no more, due to the fact that they will be closing Facebook Gaming. So we will still be doing our lives on YouTube, but we probably will migrate fully to Twitch. So pay attention to our social media to keep you guys up to date. And as well, follow our TikTok. We're really close to 1,000 followers. So if we get to 1,000 followers, another giveaway for a lucky TikTok follower. And one last thing. We don't have an official date yet, but we do have in the works, in the back table, in behind our Cardboard Cave door offices, we do have a major special guest that we're still in the talks to give you guys an official date. They will be part of Commander Night. So probably we will have a very big special guest on our show. So I hope that just pay attention to our social media. And as well, we are going to be coordinating our next fan night because we still have Brooklyn that we didn't been able to play with Brooklyn from the UK. So nothing, guys. I hope you guys have a great, amazing day. I mean, night.
Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining.